I was asked a question the other day, where do all the atoms come from? And of course, I had to think for a moment and say, well, for goodness sakes, that's a very good question. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Where do all the atoms come from? Well, we like to think of the atoms as the substance of the universe, the essence of the universe. We like to think of it as the very tiny substance of the universe, very tiny essence of the universe, and seemingly that there's not much that's very much smaller than that. Well, scientists today have found things that are very much smaller than the atom. The atom is, you might say, the building blocks of the universe. The atom is something very significant and very definite. But yet, the atom isn't the ultimate. Now, as the scientists do their research, they go back and back and back. I don't have the names of all the little things that they call those pre-subatom substances, but quarks and various other names that they give to it, that go back beyond the atom. And where did they come from? Where do they come from? That's a question that we oftentimes ask ourselves. Why am I here? What's my purpose? Where am I going? Where did I come from? And where did we come from? Well, from a philosopher's point of view, and it's the only point of view we can have, from a philosopher's point of view, we think in metaphysics, we think we came from an idea. We came from the infinite cosmos. We came out of the allness. We became an isness out of the allness. A rather refined isness from an atoms piled upon atoms to make this human body of ours, to make this wonderful brain of ours that can listen to the universal allness. That's the brain is our radio station that tunes in to the cosmic consciousness. And as we tune into the cosmic consciousness, we become aware of more and more very interesting things. But where do the atoms come from? Well, the atoms are an essence in the building links of the universe. Scientists, as we said, are finding more and more subatomic substances that are, you might say, pre-atomic. And they are used to make up the atoms. Well, the scientists can give us three substances that are in the atom, that make the atom. But what about those substances that are in the atom? What makes up the energy? What makes up the essence of it? The neutron, the proton, the electron. What makes up those things that are in an atom? Well, each one of those things is an essence in itself. It is something unique and very special in itself, and it is something that is in all physical substance that we have been able to see. And now we're finding that the atom is not in all physical substances, because in our electronic detection equipment, microscopic, going down into the finite of the finite, we find that quark does not qualify as an atom. It's a subatom. It's something by itself. And we will find that if we want to research into all of these various interesting aspects of life, that they of themselves are just part of what you might call a great cathedral. We look at a great cathedral and we think, what a beautiful building that is. Or we look at the Empire State Building, or we look at the wonderful things that Nuavi is making, the wonderful buildings that are being constructed around the world that are supposed to be higher and higher and higher. It's almost like the Tower of Babel. I wonder what's going to happen when they try to reach too high, if they'll ever try to reach too high. They scientifically have made calculations that allow them to go up and up, and they have found that if they do follow certain details of the physical world, they'll be able to make higher and higher and higher buildings. And then they'll have to take care of them and the wind shear and all these other good things that go on in the atmosphere that they run the building up into. Well, this is all fascinating. It's all delightful. What mind built the Empire State Building? What mind built the pyramid? What mind built all the things, the Taj Mahal and the lovely other things on the earth that are built by, so to speak, the mind of man? Well, these things came out of an inner awareness in some person or some persons who felt that that type of a thing could possibly be. And so they put down their calculations for this, and they drew up their design for this. There was always a pre-design for it, an architectural drawing for all of these beautiful things before they were brought into being. Even Leonardo da Vinci, in sculpting his David out of that piece of rock, out of that piece of marble, he had the drawing in his mind of what the David was going to be. He saw the David before he brought it out of that stone. He saw in his mind that beautiful sculpture of that most amazing man that represents the ideal of human being, and yet it's certainly not the ideal of human being. It's far more muscular, far more fantastic in many ways. But think about it. Where do the atoms come from? How do the atoms get started on their journey of being created into buildings and houses and people and animals and things like that? Well, the atom comes out of the infinite mind, the infinite cosmic consciousness. And this infinite knowledge is, as we must admit to ourselves, it is the allness and it is the nothingness. Well, by the very fact that we say it's the allness, it's beyond our comprehension. And by the very fact that we say it's the nothingness, it makes it sort of ludicrous to think of it at all. It goes beyond our comprehension, goes beyond our thought system. But truly, if I say to you, I'm going to give you a car, and you don't have it yet, but I'm going to give it to you. And so, tomorrow, I give you a car. Well, now, that car already existed. That car already was a reality. I may not have known I was going to give you that car yesterday, today, but I had that in my mind, apparently, or somehow. Somehow, it was in the scheme of things that it was to come. The atoms are in the scheme of things that they are to come. Now, will we have a Tower of Babel, and it'll be a tower that will be destroyed by its own presumptuousness? Or will we have towers that will go far beyond anything that man can think about at the moment? Because he is allowing himself to dwell with that infinite architect that is inside of each one of us. That infinite architect is that infinite cosmic consciousness that is within each one of us. Though we might not know today that we will do certain things tomorrow, the idea of what we will do tomorrow is already in today. It's already complete. It's in the now. And we are merely revealing it. And this is what we are doing in all of our life. Not only with the atoms, but we are revealing that which already exists everywhere. The atoms already exist everywhere. They already exist in the allness. They cannot be added to or taken from because they are absolute and total. Now you say, an atom is a relative thing. Well, that's a point. The atom may be a relative thing, but the concept of atom is not a relative thing. The concept of a non-atom is also not a relative thing. It, of course, has to be a relative thing to be thought of as something and not something. But really, we go beyond the relative, we go beyond the thinking, because when we say something is and something is not, we are visualizing a something that is and something that is not, and that something that is and something that is not that we are visualizing may very well not be something that we have ever visualized before, or that we are even visualizing now. We are only visualizing a thought feeling about it. And so truly, the atom and all substance and all concepts are thought feelings. They are thought ideas. Every atom is a thought. Every quark is a thought. Every subatom, no matter how tiny it may be and how insignificant it may be on the great pattern, they say they see substances that they know are there, but they don't know how to describe it by how it shows up with something that they do know. They see this spot or this speck passing across a infinitely tiny substance, and they call that something. They don't know what it is, and they give it a name, and they keep giving names to these little black nothings that they cannot see, and yet it blots out something they can see, so therefore they know that it is there. It's like the dark holes in outer space. Those dark holes, where do they lead? Where did they come from? How did they develop in the first place? Why did a dark hole develop out of something that is real? Why does nothing develop out of something and something develop out of nothing? These are interesting concepts, and they're interesting games that we play. Where do atoms come from? Atoms come out of the infinite cosmic consciousness, which contains all. Every thought, every concept, every ideal, every essence that ever can be, will be, was, is now, in the now, in the allness. And we tune into the allness to share into the allness all that the isness is and all that the allness is. And we find that a very charming concept. We find that a very amusing idea. Charming and amusing because we do not understand it. It's beyond our awareness. This morning, my beautiful golden retriever, Rex, came over to greet me and talk to me for a moment. And I sat in my chair and he put his head in my lap and he said, "Dad, it's nice to be around you." And I said, "That's fine, Rex. It's nice to be around you too." And I put my hand upon his head. I put my hand over the top of his head. And I have a big hand, and he has a big head, but not bigger than my hand. And his head felt very, very hot. And I thought, my goodness, do dogs have hot heads? Do they have fevers? Do they have things like that? And that was a passing instant, but the instant said, no, my dog is perfect. My dog's head is a perfect normal temperature. My dog's head is right now perfect and ideal. My dog has the perfect ideal temperature. Well, as I put my hand back on his head again, it felt less warm. And then as I kept my hand on his head and blessed him and saw him whole and perfect, his head became normal in temperature. And then I switched hands and checked to make sure that I was doing things in a proper way, and both hands reported the same normal temperature. Now, the hot temperature was there. The normal temperature also was there. The hot temperature was the temperature I did not choose to have him experience or have me experience, so I released it from my thought and felt only the normal temperature. I placed my hand on his head and I said, "You have a normal temperature. You are ideal. You are perfect. You are wonderful. You are fantastic." And the hot temperature went away. Now, did I heal him or did I do anything glorious to him? I merely recognized his original purity and integrity. I merely recognize the normal temperature that always was there. Other things can be there too if I wish to think about them or empower them, but this was and is the normal temperature for Rex. And so Rex looked up at me and big brown eyes and big smile on his face, and he says, "I always feel good when I come around you." And I said, "You know why you always feel good when you come around me? Because I always see you whole and perfect. I always see you as the ideal. I always see you wonderful." "But where does that wonderfulness come from?" he asks, his eyes sort of laughingly, joyously listening. And I said, "Rex, the ideal of you is always there. The perfection of you is always there. The wholeness of you is always there. All the atoms in the universe are always everywhere. They're in you, around you, over you, above you. They're all of you. And they're all of me. And where do the atoms come from? They always exist. They always are. There is no place that they are not. Not because they physically exist, but because they mentally exist. And the physical existence is a come see, come saw. It is here, now, gone, tomorrow. It is not a permanent thing. It is merely an impermanent concept in the universe. What is permanent is the idea of atom. What is permanent is the idea of anything that has an idea. Because its idea lasts forever, is forever, is now, and is complete and is only in the now. This is the only time there is, the only place there is, right here, right now. So, where do atoms come from? Well, atoms come right out of the allness that we are. Atoms come right out of the infinite cosmic consciousness that we are. Atoms come out of the thought system that we are. The concept atom always exists. It may not be playing itself out under all circumstances, because some circumstances that may be playing itself is nothingness. Other circumstances that may be playing itself is subatoms, which is the quark and so forth. And what are all these things? All these things are merely a recognition that there is a oneness. And that oneness is the infinite universal consciousness, the infinite allness, the isness. And that oneness is what we are, what I am at all times. That oneness is all that exists. The atoms don't come from somewhere and go to somewhere. The atoms appear and don't appear according to the attention I give them. They always are a concept in my thinking system in the absolute awareness. They always are a concept, and everything is a concept. And my thought gives them the appearance of permanence. Rex's forehead had the appearance of heat. And as I put my hand on his forehead and saw him whole and perfect, the appearance of heat went away and the wholeness was right there. And he experienced those things in beautiful, bountiful manners. Now, is there anything wrong with him? No. Was there anything wrong with him? No. Was the thought of heat there? Yes. Was the thought of heat not there? Yes. Is the thought always there that he is whole and perfect at all times? Yes. Is the thought always there that I am whole and perfect at all times? Yes. Is the thought there that all the thoughts in the universe are mine at any moment I choose by my merely thinking about them? And as I think about any thought, any concept, I empower that thought, concept, that experience to be mine right now. I empower that to be an experience that I have and I know. And as I empower it, it is one of the most beautiful, glorious, exciting adventures that I could ever want for myself. And there was a little call for me on my cellular phone from Ellen. saying that she has a blue cable that she cannot remove from her computer, and she wants me to come and help her. So I will do that. And I will take the atoms of my body and go over to the embassy and be of help to Ellen. Now, all of you know, where do atoms come from? Atoms come out of the infinite cosmos because they are thoughts. And they are thoughts that you and I think all the time, that you and I know are true for ourselves all the time. And that's our reality. Have a lovely day, and we'll talk more about these wonderful things. Where do all the atoms come from, and where does everything happen? Because it all happens in our thought, out of the infinite cosmic consciousness of all. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.